Welcome back to the Dealmakers Podcast Show with serial entrepreneur Alejandro Cremades, best-selling author of The Art of Startup Fundraising and co-founder at Panthera Advisors. In this podcast, we ask our guests about their successful acquisitions and financing rounds.
All righty, hello everyone and welcome to the Dealmaker Show. So today we're going to be talking about building, scaling, deal making, I mean, you name it. You know, the founder that we have joining us today, you know, has built a company now that has 40,000 employees. Think about that. Absolutely remarkable journey, you know, the one that he has been in. And we're going to be talking about many, many things, you know, on how he got started, how he went, you know, to work for government, then also for other companies, then how he decided to really be the creator of his own destiny. And here he is pushing this rocket ship that he's on. So without further ado, let's welcome our guest, Karim Bernoussi. Welcome to the show.
Hello, Alejandro. Thank you.
So originally born in Morocco, Karim, give us a walk through memory lane. How was life growing up and being the fifth child of seven siblings?
You know, I born in Morocco in 63. So Morocco was just a few years after the independence of the country. So my memories are just sweet memories because I had a really beloved father who left us now 30 years ago and a mom very close to us. So I was really, gifted to born in such family where we had just love around us. And They teach us that work, study, and at the end you will have the reward of that.
So you also studied French, and then you did engineering. What got you into problem solving to begin with?
So when I was in Morocco, I was in the French school. So the level was very good. So I graduated. I had my high school in Morocco. And then I left I was good in math. I loved numbers. So I was really good on math. And so I went to France to do a school of engineers. And I had the chance to be accepted to the Sup Telecom, which is a French telecom school, where I graduated in 87.
So telecom is definitely something that you spent quite a bit of time, you know, as part of your career. What really got you excited about the industry of telecom?
You know, I applied to different schools. I had the opportunity to go at another school, which is l'École Nationale des Ponts et Chaussées, which is a really famous school in France. I didn't choose it because civil engineer was not something that I was looking at. But telecom was just the beginning. And digital was just the beginning in the late 80s. So it was the future. So that's why I went there. It was not really popular at that time. My father told me, no, go to and be civil engineers because it's, for him, it's, you know, for his generation, it was better. But I did my choice and I think I didn't regret it.
Now, for you also, one thing that is very interesting as well as part of your journey is that you experienced the private sector and also the public sector. I mean, you were involved too with launching schools, with the ministry there and the fisheries and things like that.
Well, so, I think I was really lucky because before launching my own business, I had, and I think it's very important to understand that, I didn't launch my business just after high school. So I had the chance to be close to many businesses. First, I worked in a French company, and then I went to the international. I worked in Germany and the Philippines, so I got in touch with international people and international business. And then I came back to Morocco, and my ambition at that time was to work for the government because I grew in a family where everybody was working for the public sector, and I started to work with the public sector in telecom. Then in a ministry, then in the university to build a university. And so it was a really nice experience because I was close to the institution, government institutions. And then I had the chance to be hired by a multinational company, Microsoft, where I worked during 5 years. I was close to people, very famous people, very smart people in the US, in Europe. And, you know, this experience to be in a local company, to be in a French company, then to be the government in the government, then to be an international multinational company gives me really strong experience on and show me what things to do and things to avoid if you launch your company. And I think that's the strength that I got when I started to build my own business.
So one of the interesting aspects there, as you were alluding to it, I mean, you've worked for all types of companies, you know, Maroc Telecom, also you did Microsoft, you did the Lufthansa as well. I mean, you've done quite a few, you know, there. But as you were alluding to it, you had the opportunity to also travel and to live in different countries. I guess what opened up for you from a worldview perspective?
Today I live it. I mean, even if in my experience before launching my own company, I had the chance to be close to many cultures and many, way to do business. And I think today, if you look at Intelsia is present today in 18 countries. We have 40,000 people. And I travel every time to be close to my people in order to make sure that the DNA that we would like in the company is the same everywhere. But even if you have the same DNA, you see the difference in the culture. And I think the thing that I'm gifted by is to have this the chance to be close to, smart people in all these countries, and I learn from them. I learn from them, and I think the key here is to listen and not to apply what you have in your company or what you have in your own country everywhere. The thing is that you have to understand the culture. You have to listen, to be patient in order to accept who the other people are, and then to make sure that the value are the same. I mean, for me, it's the most important for my company is that to make sure that we are living the same values, but at the same time, the declination, how they are applied in each country can be different.
So why did you always wanted to go back to Morocco? Because obviously at this point you had the experience of being in different countries, you know, different opportunities, different worldview as well. So why going back to Morocco?
Because I'm happy here. I mean, it's my country. I mean, today I have one nationality, is Moroccan. I don't have any of the other nationality. Today my wife is in Germany because she's a diplomat. My daughter is in London. My son is in Paris, and I spend half of my time here in Morocco. I think it's something from the beginning. As I told you, when I graduated, I knew that I will come back to my country because I wanted to give back to my country what I got from the country. So it was something that it was not negotiable. So today I have the chance to spend half of my time here and half outside the country. So you can say that I'm taking the best thing for every part. But I think that as a Moroccan entrepreneur and as a Moroccan company, I would like to try to be an example for other entrepreneurs to show them that by keeping our values, by working hard, by not looking for profit at short term, we can build strong companies. We can build global company from a country from the south. That's the thing that I would like to show, and to show that it's possible without having, push from anybody.
So in your case, Microsoft was the most immediate step before you actually went at it as an entrepreneur, because on Maroc Telecom, you know, there was a little disagreement there with the president, you know, which pushed you to really, you know, take a look at what else was out there. And obviously Microsoft was one thing that, you know, allowed you to really expand, you know, your thinking, you know, different segment too. But this was the segue, you know, for you to become an entrepreneur. So what were the immediate steps that needed to happen in order for you to really take ownership of your own destiny?
I think if you look at my experience, and if we look at what are the benefits that I got from the previous experience before becoming an entrepreneur, there are many things. First, working for the government, public sector will help you to be patient. And will help you as well to know more about the counterpart of the private sector to see how the other are running. But I think that the best thing that I got and the best experience is from Microsoft, because in Microsoft you learn how to sell, and the top line for an entrepreneur is very important. And I think that this is something that I learned there, because before I was not selling, even if I had the ability to do it. But I mean, I was not in the sales part. In Rock Telecom, I was purchaser, not selling things. Second thing that I learned as well in Microsoft is the thing that today everybody is, there is not a lot of layers of in the hierarchy. So everybody can talk to everybody. So I remember that in some conference, I talked to Bill Gates, to Steve Ballmer, and even tell them, giving them some recommendation on how the things that should be done in our country, even if I was a really small country, regarding the business that they had. So this kind of thing, I try to apply them to my country. So today, for instance, to my company. So today, for instance, in the 40,000 people, everybody can send me a mail or send me a chat, and I answer. So this is very important for me. This closeness to my people is the key to success.
My God, well, 40,000 people being able to send you chats and messages, that sounds...
They are doing that. And I will answer. I'll try to answer. I don't receive 100 requests per day, but because they request when they want something very special. Okay. But I think it's important. And in every visit where I go to a site in a country, I spend time with people, with agents that are calling the engineers and trying to understand how life is in our country, in our company, in this country. So it's very important.
So walk us through the origins of Intelsia. How did the Intelsia, you know, the ideation, incubation, like really bringing it to life? You know, there was like some deal making there too with some friends. I mean, how did it all come together?
I mean, it's like, I mean, I would say it's by chance, or I mean, it's life is like this. When I was fired by my Maroc Telecom in 2000, I was looking for a job. I mean, to be clear, I was 37, and I knew that at that time I had to find another job very quickly, because I have a wife, I have a children. So it took time because the level of seniority that I had in Morocco, I didn't have many opportunities. So with two friends, I was looking for launching a business, and I was looking for this call center, because it was just the beginning of call center business in Morocco, offshore call center. And one of my friends come to me and told me, "What are you doing?" I told him I'm thinking about that. So he told me, "Let's do it together." So in 2000, we traveled in Europe and tried to meet the big players convince them to come to Morocco. So we convinced Transcom. Transcom was a European call center company, a Swedish company. And we convinced them to launch in Morocco, Transcom Morocco. So we create this company, this joint venture. We had 40% of the company. They had 60%. And in September 2000, we launched Transcom Morocco. And at that time, Transcom was the sister company of Tele2. Tele2 was a telco company, a low-cost telco company in Europe. And we launched this call center to serve Tele2, which is the sister company of Transcom. In the beginning, I wanted to run this company, because I told them, let's open a site in Casablanca, and then we'll go to Tangier, blah, blah, blah. I was looking that very big. But Transcom didn't see this like this. They told, no, it's just a production center, so we are going to send the site director, he will manage that. So after this, I had to find a job. So I went to Microsoft. I had this offer from Microsoft in 2000. So I worked in Microsoft until end of 2005. And when I get out from Microsoft, at that time, I knew that I had to run my own company. So I was I had many ideas in the consultancy business. I had another idea in the transportation business. Anyway. And so I went to my two co-founders of the Moroccan part, who had 40%. I told them, let's sell this 40% to Transcom. And at that time, I evaluated this. My part of this one is 200 K euro a dollar. So it was very good for me to launch my other my businesses that I was thinking about. So we evaluated this company at that time at 2 million euro. And this company was doing 5 million euro revenue, one site, 200 people. So we went to our partners, they didn't want to buy. So they told us, no, the customer is us because it's their sister company. We are not going to buy ourselves. So I convinced my two other co-founders to buy the 60%. I told them, okay, let's buy the 60%. I will spend half of my time managing this company because I cannot put all my time on this one. It was just a call center, small call center. So that's how we started Intelsia. So we bought this. So I went with my suitcase without any lawyer, without anything. And I signed everything and I got a company. It was really funny because I went to Luxembourg to sign with this partner. So when I came back owner of a company of 200 people, 5 million euro revenue. So we bought the company with the cash that we had in the company. So it was crazy as well. And we started the Intelsia story in 2006.
So how does that work? You know, buying a company with the cash of the company. You know, how does that work?
Because they kept the cash in the company. I mean, you can say that these guys didn't do the math, but anyway. So we had the cash on the company, so we do the small loan. It's like an LBO, let's say, something like that. But the company was okay. I mean, it was well managed. There is nice people on this one. And today, let's say 18 years later, something like that, I have again here in the company maybe 50 people from that period.
Hey guys, so pardon the interruption here. So I got to tell you that, you know, for those of you that are either looking to raise money or you're looking to get your company acquired, you don't have to be alone. You know, there's a lot of psychology that needs to be blended with strategy, with methodology, with process. And it's very hard. And already doing your business alone is super, super difficult. So I remember, you know, back then when I was an entrepreneur, I kept really experiencing the challenge of either knowing or finding the right type of access to the right type of investors or really understanding what was the right type of guidance, you know, that would carry me through the process, whether it was with seeking money or with going through the acquisition. So that gap that I found being an entrepreneur is ultimately what pushed me later on when I met my co-founder at Pantera, Mike Severson, to really put together an advisory firm where we are guiding entrepreneurs and founding teams through the capital raising efforts, whether you are at a seed stage or at a Series A stage, or if you are going through the process of an acquisition and you are in small to mid-cap type of a cycle. So again, you know, we would help you from guiding you and supporting you from A to C all the way to the end as an extension of your team. And there's no reason for you to do this alone. So with that being said, if you would like to find out more, feel free to send me an email at alejandro@panteraadvisors.com. And we would love to take a look at helping you out.
Wow. So I guess for the people that are listening too, what is the business model of Intelsia Group? How do you guys make money?
So today, I mean, our business is the following. Our business is to, I can say it very quickly, it's outsourcing business. Today, we are providing people, processes, and infrastructure. So what can it be? It can be call center for telcos, for energy company, where we do CRM. So it means that today we answer to customer, to our big customers. So today, if you are in the US, for example, Optimum, if you are a customer of Optimum in New York, but when you will call, you will have most probably somebody from Intelsia who's going to answer to you to explain the bill or to try to send you a technical guy in order if you have technical problems. So it can be this. It can be to sell. So today we have some customer in the travel industry where we have people who are calling to travel and we try to sell them the best resource and blah, 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 blah. So it can be as well, we have other businesses like collection. So today we have some customer who are asking us to do collection for the customer that they are not paying. So we call guys and we do collection. We have as well, we launched the IT business. So today we have in the company more than 700 engineers doing software development or doing infrastructure supervisions, managed services. So to be, I mean, global today, we as a company, we are concentrating, we do businesses that are not important for our customers, and we give them agility, we give them, let's say, a good price, good economical situation that are profitable for them.
So I know that deal making has been a really big component of growing up the operation, you know, and scaling, and also like involving PE firms, LBO type of transactions. Can you walk us through, you know, how that progression has been on building the company and how you guys have used deal making?
Just to understand, in our business, you have to be big in order to be profitable. You have to be big in order to get some big customers, because otherwise you're going to be eaten by the others. Somebody will go and buy you. So today, in Telsia, from the beginning, we wanted to build a company, not to do a deal. I mean, for us, it was to build a story. Otherwise, you can sell the company and it will disappear. So from the beginning, I mean, if you want to stay in this business, you have to grow. So our main objective is to grow, to grow, to grow. And how you can grow? You cannot grow fast by just organic growth, because, I mean, it will need a lot of time. So we made some acquisitions. So when we started the business, as I was saying, in 2005, 2006, we were 200 people. So it took us 3 years to understand the business and to learn. And after, we got some big customers that allow us to be profitable, like Lenovo. And then we got a customer like Google, for which we worked. So these customers, in the late 10,000, it was in 2007, 2006, 2007, 2008, allow us to grow. So we went from 5 million euro revenue to 7 million euro revenue in 2009. And at that time, we became profitable. 2010, we went into 10 million euro revenue. And at that time, we wanted to buy a company. And to buy a company, we didn't have the means to do it. I mean, one private equity fund gets into the capital of the company with 3 million euro that we raised. And then we took a loan of 4 million euro and we bought a company that allowed us to double the volume. In 2010, we bought a company with 10 million euro revenue in 2010. So we were 20 million euro revenue company with 1,000 people. In 2008, we were addressing just the French-speaking market. So at that time, we said, if we want to grow, we have to go in France. We cannot just be in offshore. So we went in France and we bought a company in France. This company was doing 33 million euro revenue in 1,000 people just in France. So we bought it. So we made an offer. And it was really funny because I went to the owner of this company and I told him, I had somebody who presented to me. I told him, you know, you are just in France addressing French-speaking market. I am just in Morocco addressing French-speaking market. You alone you are fragile. Me alone, I'm fragile. So let's put together the two companies. You manage the French part because I don't know how the French labor is working, blah, blah, blah. I manage the offshore and we grew together. So he told me, okay, let me think about that. So he called me 1 week later. He told me, you know, I'm 60. I prefer to sell. So I came back to him very quickly. I told him, okay, this is my offer. If you accept it, so no competition, I think, so we make the deal. Say I accept it. So that's how we deal a deal very quickly. So we bought this company. So I raised the loan in order to buy the company. And in 2011, 1 year later, we became a 54 million euro revenue company, 2,500 people. So we continued. Then we learned as well. So I started to work in France. So I went in France in order to understand the French business. The French labor is a nightmare as well, low. So I have to manage that. So we lost money in the beginning in France, 2 years. But at the end of the day, we were profitable 3 years later. So we grew despite these difficulties that we had in France. And we grew every year. We went to 63 million, 67, 70. And we bought another company in 2016. It was Atento, the French-speaking part of Atento. So we bought it in France, in Morocco. It's 1,500 people. And in 2016, Altice Group, for which we won the big tender for SFR asked us to get into the capital. So they bought the private equity fund shares as well as the two other co-founders. So in 2016, we were less than 1,000 million euro revenue. We were 4,000 people at that time. And Altis bought 65%, and me and Youssef, my partner, we have 35% of the company. And 7 years later, then we are 40,000 people now, almost 800 million euro revenue. So we had many things during that period. We opened Africa. We bought other companies. We bought a company, IT company in France and Morocco. We bought a Spanish company, which was very big. We bought it in because to address Spanish-speaking market, for us, it's important. And we bought as subcontractors in Egypt, in DR, Dominican Republic. So today, we are addressing four markets. French market, where we are very big. We are number three in the French market. So it's half of our business. We have the Portuguese market, for which we have more than 7,000 people. We are number two. We have the Spanish market by the acquisition. We are number five in this market. And in the US market, we are just newcomers. We are just new entrants. So today, our strategy is to continue to grow. So we, our ambition is to be a global player. So if we want to be a global player, we need to grow and to address other markets like UK markets, like German market, and as well as to be strong in the US market because it's the first market in the world. So if we want to be a, let's say, a player who is counting in the, let's say, in this ecosystem, we have maybe to buy another company in the US in order to have US guys who, dealing with the US customers.
So imagine, Karim, obviously a tremendous business, you know, that you guys have been able to build, you know, with 40,000 people, 800 million euro revenue. I mean, remarkable. Imagine you were to go to sleep tonight, Karim, and you wake up, you have the snooze of a lifetime, okay? Incredible. The snooze of a lifetime, okay? You know, incredible sleep during that night. And let's say you wake up in a world where the vision of Intelsia is fully realized. What does that world look like?
You know, for me, my dream is first is to try to, and I say it every time where I go to my people, I told them, you know why we are growing, is the ability to invest on people. For me, in our business is to be close to our people. For me, our business, my dream is to bring jobs to people in the South, and to allow them to stay in their country and to live next to their family. So today in Morocco, where I'm in Morocco, I'm in Tunisia, in Egypt, in Côte d'Ivoire, in Senegal, in Cameroon, when I am in Madagascar, Mauritius, in Africa, for instance, I'm talking about Africa. When we bring jobs, we bring dignity to people. We bring them, the ability. So my dream is to continue to grow in order to allow these people to stay at home in the country. And as well, in order to enhance the employability of these guys. So for me, this is my first objective. Second one is to continue to be ethic in our business. You know, in our business is to say profitability is not the first thing. Profitability is the consequence of what we are doing. It's not the first thing. It's not how you... And my message to entrepreneur is to tell them that if you invest on people, if you are close to your people, if you are close to your customer, at the end of the day, you have a profitable business. And it's not. And the decision that you are taking is first to think about your customer and your people. And that's how I'm dealing with my business.
So obviously, we're talking about the future here. I want to talk about the past, but doing so with a lens of reflection. Let's say, you know, I'm able to put you now into a time machine. I'm going to put you in a time machine now, and we're going to go back in time. We're going to go back to 2005, okay? 2005 is the moment where you were wondering, you know, coming out of Microsoft, you know, a world where you could really take ownership of your own future. And let's say now is the moment where, you know, the whole, you know, idea started coming in and, you know, becoming an entrepreneur. Let's say you're able to stop that younger Karim, because, we're talking about, you know, almost 19 years ago today. And let's say you're able to stop that younger Karim and have the opportunity of giving that younger Karim one piece of advice before launching a business, what would that be and why, given what you know now?
You know, when I go back at this period, and I had this discussion with some entrepreneurs, I told them, when you go out and you can start launching your business, usually you do many things. I think you open, and I remember in 2005, I think I opened 5 or 6 companies and running this one and this one and this one and this one. And I told them, you'll see that you will converge to the business that is your own, the things. And I remember one, I had one friend who told me, I told to this friend, I'm running this company, the call center. It was small at that time. I'm running a transportation company, which was bigger. And I was running a consultancy company. And when she saw the thing, she told me, this person told me, you know, you're going to stay with Intelsia. I think Intelsia is the thing which is most close to you, what you are. So what I'm saying is that when you start entrepreneurship, you have many ideas, and I think you don't have to stop your ideas. You can test. I mean, all the ideas. You will fail on someone. You will succeed. But at the end of the day, if I look at myself, I'm not a guy who can do many things at the same time. I prefer to concentrate myself on one thing, and this one thing is Intelsia today, because when I sleep with it. When I wake up, I wake up with it. So I cannot do it with 2 or 3 other things. I'm focusing on my business. The other business that I launched, some are closed, and others are managed by my partners, and I'm not running that companies at all. You know, I'm just looking maybe once every quarter to see the result of these companies. But to come back, the third thing that I would love to have the energy that I had 17 years ago or 18 years ago to continue again for 20 years. Because, I mean, there are many things, again, to do. So today I'm traveling to manage this energy because our business needs energy. Why? Because you have to be close to people. Why? Because you have to be, we are in a people business. You know, we don't have any, let's say, a brevet or patent or things like that give us money. I mean, money is coming where you are close to your customer and close to your people.
So for the people that are listening, Karim, that would love to reach out and say hi, what is the best way for them to do so?
For me, I'm reachable LinkedIn. I answer very quickly. Mail, LinkedIn, chat. I'm really connected. Trying to be open to the world, open to my people, and open to my partners.
That's amazing and easy enough. Well, Karim, thank you so much for being on the show today. It has been an absolute honor to have you with us.
Thank you, Alejandro. It was really a pleasure to share this with you this moment. And enjoy New York and enjoy your daughters. And see you soon.
If you like the show, make sure that you hit that subscribe button. If you could leave a review as well, that would be fantastic. And if you got any value, either from this episode or from the show itself, share it with a friend. Perhaps they also appreciate it. So also remember that if you need any help, whether it is with your fundraising efforts or with selling your business, you can reach me at alejandro@pantheraadvisors.com.
You've reached the end of another episode of the Dealmakers Podcast. For free resources and materials, head over to alejandrocremades.com. Thank you for listening, and see you at the next episode.